is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Who wants the intro?
Not me.
Not me.
This is a podcast. Ian Lee, BBC. Counties of Three.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Can you do your thing?
I'm really tired.
Okay.
So I'm going to... What do you want me to do?
Just say, here are some of the questions that I asked this week, and then go through the list,
okay.
And we'll all listen together.
OK, this will be fun.
It'll be fun, wouldn't it? You might want some headphones, Matt.
And you might want a microphone.
Yeah. You might want a microphone.
Catherine.
I've got a microphone.
This one.
Well, maybe you don't.
Yeah, there's yours, Matt.
This is what I like to call
it. Professional team we have.
This is a slow start to the podcast. Sometimes we come in, boom, and we just, you know, kick you right where it hurts. But today we're just kind of easing you in.
Matt's got a problem with
You can't keep it up.
It's very limp.
The microphone stand.
Okay.
Just got to show it. Who's boss, Matt. Don't be frightened of it.
Don't be careful, because that's going to be in people's... People will be on the bus now going, oh, flipping heck! Maybe we should have gone in with a hard start instead of this...
Well, we can do it now. I could probably cut that if I felt like it.
I wouldn't bother.
Just
keep it in. Let people know that we're human.
Yeah, we're real.
Here's some of the question that I asked this week. Well, Sue Clark is chairing the action group against Cranfield Turbines and joins me now. Morning, Sue.
Good morning, Ian.
Sue, what's your beef with turbines?
That was a good question.
Yep. Came in a little bit long, that bit. Here's another one. What's the point of domes? Here's another one. Brian, are you wearing a belt? Another one. Have you just had a steam? Have you just had a steam? Could you have had a steam? A steam? A steam?
They were all... I can see why you won that award.
They've been in touch. They want it back. They actually want it back. Oh, yeah! Wow, kids, this week I tried to promote anarchy in graveyards. That's right. I just think that they're too sedate and a little bit dull. Have a listen to my campaign for graveyard anarchy. Granarchy. The story we've been talking about has been in the news until we've been talking about it all morning. The story of a grieving widow from Bedford who says she's devastated by the council's treatment of her husband's grave. Joanna claims no one asked before removing flowers, vases and other personal items from the resting place of her recently deceased husband at Kempston Cemetery. His grave was then turfed over.
A gravesite is the only place that people can go to get a little bit of closure with those who are gone. My husband Jay was fighting long and very painful battle with horrible disease. Now he's not longer with us, so I will fight for him.
Well, we can speak now to Councillor Adrian Beardmore, who is Chair of Kempston Joint Burials Committee. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
What's your reaction to this story?
A bit annoying, really, because it does make us look as if we're not very nice people, where most of the problem is actually coming from the family themselves. They did sign, somebody signed on their behalf, a very large contract with very big printing, actually giving them, not a lot, 5 rules to abide by. That's all we ask, and one of them... We say rule one is base fencing curbs around graves are not permitted. Memorial vases are allowed for the display of floral disputes, provided the exclusive rights of the grave have been purchased. And she signed, or somebody who involved in...
With the greatest of respects, with the greatest respect, her husband had just died a few weeks before of cancer. So you may understand why perhaps she wasn't looking at the small print.
Well, that's fair enough. And we do allow, we do not move the funeral flowers. So 2 months, 7 weeks, we don't turf the graves over straight away because people do like to put the flowers from the funeral on the graves. And we do allow that. But it is a meadow graveyard for safety and for easy cutting.
I'm surprised, Adrian. I'm surprised you've kind of come in on the defensive. Like this, you're worried that she's making you look bad. I don't know if it's her that's making you look bad.
Well, I've looked at your Facebook page and I read some of the comments, and they just do not know all the facts.
Well, let's read some of these comments, and then you can give them back. Lorraine says, surely they should have consulted Joanna at Stoke Poges Crematorium. We had copies of the rules given to us. Anything goes there, and there are some lovely tributes. Jill says if the council wanted to move them for mowing or something, they should have contacted her. So sad. They've made a sad situation worse. Terry says terrible treatment. Sorry for your loss. Wendy says it's not usual for folk. It's usual for folk not to be able to put stuff on graves. She should have checked beforehand. Grief is hard to deal with. We all make mistakes. And Neil says, I'm just reading these as they're presented in front of me. Typical council. They all have a black heart and do as they please. They should replace the flowers and send a letter of apology to Joanna.
We have actually wrote to Joanne explaining why they removed. Also, the supervisor of the cemetery saw one of the family the day before and reminded him that the next day the grave was going to be turfed over. So we did actually speak to one of the family the day before it was actually done.
But you didn't speak to the widow?
No.
Do you not think maybe that was the person you should have approached?
Well, she shouldn't even have done it. May I suggest
just think a little bit carefully, because you're coming... I'm making up that you're sounding a little bit heartless.
I'm very sorry I am, because we know what the grief is when somebody loses...
But you're just saying she should have thought a little bit harder. Listen, my dad died over a year ago. I was in tears at the weekend. Sometimes thinking a little bit harder, it's 2 months after someone is really close to you has died, that's not always possible, is it?
No, but there are procedures, criteria you have to stick to. Just because something dramatic in your life has happened, you can't completely ignore all
the criteria
and rules.
Come on, Adrian. It's not as if she was spray painting the cemetery. It's not as if she was putting up plastic clockwork Jesuses. She had some flowers and some vases a couple of months after her husband had died.
She planted the grave up with bedding plants,
right,
as well as pots. You're talking long term now with bedding plants.
Take the bedding plants out and speak to her. Take the bedding plants out. Explain to her why it's inappropriate in a caring, gentle manner. And what's the problem? There's lots of plants in pots. What's the problem with those?
If you were the people,
they don't
who
fit
to
the
cut
rules.
The grass. If you had to, we are a council who look after their employees. You cannot expect the staff to pick heavy pots up every time they cut the grass, can you?
Oh, Adrian.
No, I'm sure. Also, the rules have been explained very carefully to the family now, and they have damaged the grave by digging holes.
Adrian. You're doing yourself no favours, Adrian.
I'm very sorry, but rules have to be met. This world would be a horrible place if people just did what they want.
We're not talking about anarchy here. We're talking about a grieving widow who's put a few plant plots on top of her dead husband's grave. It's not anarchy. It's not people running around smashing windows. It's a woman trying to grieve the loss of her soulmate.
And we have sympathy with her for the loss of her soulmate.
It doesn't sound like it, Adrian. It's sounding very cold and callous, and this list of 5 rules that must be adhered to, even in the early stages of grief.
The rules must be adhered to completely. If we are allowed, and we have experiences, if we allow any long period where we allow the graves to be made up, then it is practically impossible to set the graveyards up as it should be. So I think 2 months to allow all the funeral flowers to die off is being sympathetic with
But then you didn't think of talking
disease.
To her, the widow.
We spoke to the family.
But you didn't speak to the widow, Adrian.
It's not easy to speak to individual people.
It is. You send them a letter and you phone them up and you leave a few messages and you explain that we need to talk because we're going to have to move the things from the grave. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to move the things from the grave because we've got these 5 rules that may appear a bit soulless to you, but those are the rules and we have to adhere to them. It is easy to do, Adrian, and I'm really surprised that a councillor responsible for joint burials... It does sound, you know, like you're reading from a script or I'm talking to a robot here.
I'm sorry, no, this is my own perseverance of trying to get the graveyard a safe, very comfortable place to be. And I'm thinking of all the other people at the cemetery, as well as all the visitors, as the staff.
How would Joanna's display have affected the other visitors, do you think, negatively?
Because they look at it and thinking, well, the council wouldn't let us have them. Why can she have it?
So other people would have been jealous.
Cannot cut the grass. And it's a knock-on effect. You allow one person, then everyone wants it. We carry these rules out very strictly throughout the cemetery. A graveyard can be very unsafe places if you don't stick to rules and regulations. I'm sorry.
A graveyard can be a very unsafe place if you don't stick to rules and regulations. Yes. Is this what we've come to?
Yes, there was some major incidents in London a few years ago where children died playing on memorials. And
Children aren't going to die because she's got a plant pot on her dead husband's grave, Adrian, are they?
I could go on forever telling you the dangers of plant pots and et cetera, but
please,
I'm not going to do that.
Give me three examples of the dangers of plant pots, et cetera. Because I can't think of any.
Can't you? Trip hazards, strain hazards, lifting hazards.
Oh, God.
Yes, I know. That's why I didn't want to go through it.
Because it sounds ridiculous. A trip hazard.
I know it sounds ridiculous.
No, but no, it sounds ridiculous, Adrian, because who's going to be walking on a grave anyway?
A lot of older people walk along.
Oh, Adrian.
It's all the way along there.
They do. Do you know what? I suspect the only people, the people that are most definitely wouldn't be walking on graves are the older people, because they've got respect for graves.
Walking along there.
But if it's on the grave, then no one's going to trip over it.
I don't know if to me it sounds like you're just trying to anarchy yourself, trying to cause anarchy in graveyards. It's very, very sad hearing you going on the way that you do go on.
Adrian, you are actually breaking my heart that this is what we've come to. We'll leave it there, Adrian. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
It's Councillor Adrian Beardmore, Chair of Kempston Joint Burials Committee. Can I just say for anybody out there, I'm not creating anarchy in graveyards. That's not my manifesto.
Oh, the poor councillor.
Sorry?
The poor councillor.
It's interesting. That's where your sympathies lie, is it?
No.
We had some nice comments. We had some very nice comments about that story. We're kind of laughing a bit, but at the heart of it is a very, very sad story. And you were saying that the mum of the gentleman that died...
Yeah, Jay's mother, she put a message on Facebook just saying thank you for all your support, your lovely comments, and it meant a lot to her.
Well, good for her.
But it was a story worth highlighting, wasn't it? Councillor removing... The council removing items without...
To say that if you did want to see those comments and the pictures, facebook.com/3CR.
Oh, I think people know what Facebook is, Kelly.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Kelly's microphone broke this week, so I climbed into a box and punched her.
Across beds, hearts and bucks.
This is Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Why do Facebook and Twitter keep changing the way they operate? Why do they do that? Have you seen the new Twitter? Is just it looks like old Facebook, and new Facebook. Well, I went to the 3CR page to look at comments left by the others, and I couldn't find any comments left by the others. By the others, I mean you, and I couldn't find any of them. I don't know how to work it. Facebook has jumped the shark. I mean, when they've posted their own comments, not replies.
Yeah.
Yeah? Kelly's looking confused. I don't know, is that the sunburnt lips?
She's...
I know.
She's actually in some discomfort.
I know she is. She's actually genuinely upset by it, and that's why I'm bullying her all the more. I'm hoping to get tears. It's my birthday, and I'll make you cry if I want to.
OK. I'll let you.
Tiny Kelly.
Do you want to give me a dead arm?
Hang on, Tiny Kelly in a box. What did you say?
Do you want to give me a dead arm?
I would absolutely love to, yeah.
Come in here, then.
I won't fit in that box. It's tiny.
Open it up.
What?
Climb in.
Where?
And punch my arm.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to climb in. Hang on.
Okay.
Right, I'm in the box. Which arm do you want me to hit?
Left.
Okay, turn around. You ready?
Yeah. Ow!
Oh, no, she's fallen down a hole! Pete's not happy on Twitter.
Why?
People who support wind turbines fall into either of two categories: ignorant idiots or vested interests. Well, I've just proven, Pete. I may be an idiot, but I'm not ignorant. And I don't have a vested interest. I should make that clear as well. Wow, gosh. Well, that was a little squeak.
I'm just wondering how we're supposed to respond to that, Pete, because we would like to know more about it, and we're, like many people, interested in why the... Why are you interested? If you've got a vested interest, Pete?
Yeah, ha-ha-ha! Yeah, I'm going to turn it back
on
him.
Instead of shaming us and sort of suggesting we're idiots, why don't you convince us?
I've got it now. I'm going to give me the baton. I'm running with it. Yeah, Pete, I suggest the people who are against wind turbines fall into either of two categories, yeah? Ignorant idiots or vested interests. Ah!
Well, so far, the only opposition I've heard to wind turbines is they don't look very nice, which, if I'm going to have some harm, I'd rather it be visual harm.
And also, they might harm bats. I hate bats. I hate bats. They are disgusting creatures. They carry rabies.
They're endangered, though.
Good. Then we should get rid of them.
They don't carry...
Don't bite your nails. We should get rid of bats. Let's all go out on a bat hunt. Who wants to come on a bat hunt with me? We'll get a sonar thing that will confuse the little blind idiots, and then when they come out...
No, I like a bat. They clear up the skies of flies.
I prefer... You're telling me, right? You'd rather have...
A bat than a fly, yeah, any day.
You'd rather have 5 bats flying around your bed at night...
Yes.
...instead of 5 flies?
Yes!
You are in... Bats!
They're less likely to...
They'll bite you and give you...
They won't bite.
They'll bite your daughter and give her rabies.
No, they won't.
You want your daughter to have rabies?
Steve, I take it back. I'm with you.
What kind of sick woman are you? You want your daughter...
Is it Steve or Pete, the angry texter?
I'm not really sure. It was Pete.
Pete, I'm with you. You're right.
Yeah, well... So, this bit of audio speaks for itself. Dave's in Luton. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, boss.
Dave, listen, the front page of the Times. All schools must teach what it is to be British. I don't know what that means.
Well, you've got to be taught British.
Well, hang on. What does being taught British mean?
Well, you've got to be taught the British way of life.
OK, let's keep pushing this until we get an answer. What does that mean?
Well, you... Excuse me. You're in Britain, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, you know the life and the society and the rules of this country, don't you?
Well, but pretend I don't. Explain them to me.
Well,
what is it to be British?
Well, the British way of life.
Yes,
it's a way the British people want to live their lives in this country.
What does that mean?
Well, everyone else has got to do it coming into the country.
Okay. Well, okay. Imagine I'm a foreigner. I'm coming into this country. I meet you at the border, heaven help me, and I still decide to stay. Oh,
yeah.
Hello, Dave. What is British way of life, please?
Right. He's not a British person at that time because he's coming from another country, hasn't he?
Yes, I come from country. What is British way of life, please, Dave?
What is the British way of life? Well, they've got to learn it, haven't they?
Well, tell me, Dave, what is British way of life? I don't know nothing about it. What is it?
Well, then they've got to learn it.
Tell me, Dave, what it is.
No, I can't tell you on the radio now.
But you're British, yeah? No, we're at the airport. We're at Luton Airport. But
God.
Are you British, Dave?
I'm British, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm a British citizen. I was born in this country.
So what is British way of life I hear so much about?
Oh, dear, I pray. No, hold on. Somebody comes into this country from another country and they class themselves a British citizen. So they go and support England at the World Cup.
OK, I support England at World Cup. Am I British?
Well, as long as you support England at the World Cup,
so that's the only
British.
That's the only thing I've got to do is support England at football? What about Scotland?
No, you've got to be British.
I want to support Scotland.
Well, you can't. You'd have to go out to Scotland and become a Scottish citizen.
But Scotland is British still.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No.
Yes.
Scotland isn't British.
Scotland British.
No,
I'm foreign. I know more about Britain than you do, Dave.
Oh, God, you don't.
Scotland is British, and so is Welsh.
Not.
Welsh is
it's
British.
Not. No, it's not.
It is.
Welsh is Welsh, Scottish is Scottish, Irish is Irish.
And English is British.
And English is Britain, yeah.
But so Wales is Britain as well, isn't it?
No, it's not. Can you put... Shall I talk to Catherine or Kelly? I get more sense.
Dave?
Oh, God, listen, I'm where are you going now?
Listen,
Catherine?
How do I break this to you, Dave?
Oh, yeah, I know. Have you got a gun there? Oh, you know. Catherine, Kelly! Yeah.
You tell him, Kelly.
Kelly? Come on, Kelly.
What's up, bro? Now,
talk to me, Kelly.
Hi, Dave.
Tell him.
All right, Kelly.
Tell him about Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland.
They're not British.
What? Explain your working out. Tell me why they're not British.
Well, how can be Scottish people be British?
Right, hang on a second, because we're running out of time. Let me just go through this. So, is Wales British?
No.
Is Northern Ireland British?
No.
Is Scotland British?
No.
Is England British?
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
James is in Luton. Morning, James.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm shocked and saddened, but apart from that, I'm on top of the world.
Fantastic. Ian, I was just trying to find out what accent that was when you were coming in at Luton Airport with your fantastic accent. What country you were actually coming from?
It was foreign.
Okay.
Would you like to have a guess?
I would guess it started fairly Italian, then it almost went a little bit Mexican, then ended up fairly Chinesey.
I was a French Chinese man, yes.
Right, okay.
I lived in China for many years, but I then claimed French citizenship. I lived in France for the last 20 years, working as an industrial site manager, and then I'm moving to Britain for the work opportunities.
You had it down to a T. It was fantastic.
I'm glad you got it. Dave called back the next day. Naturally, the debate continued. Dave's in Britain. Morning, Dave.
What do you mean, Dave's in Britain? Dave's in Luton. Yeah.
Is Luton in Britain?
Yes, it is. Okay.
Okay. Are you British?
Don't you start on. Roll on Thursday and Friday. Me, Catherine, Kelly are going to have a nice time.
A little.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. After 9 o'clock, you're having a little menage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, are you British?
Oh yeah. Well, British Welsh. I've got Welsh blood.
So you're only half British.
Yes.
Because, okay, are the Welsh British?
Don't you start on this again, pal.
Are the Welsh British?
What are you beefing on about on this? I'm talking about these motorcyclists in Outham Regis in this cricket club.
Are the Welsh British?
Because they are.
Sorry?
No, they're not.
Right.
The British are the British. You're right, right. Don't let me have to come down there, Mr. Lee.
You're going
to
spank me?
Yes, I will, like I did with Roberto. You know what I mean?
He enjoys it. Are the Scottish British?
No. Pardon?
Are the Scottish British?
No.
Okay. Are the English British?
Yes.
Okay. It's an interesting. It's interesting your take on geography and history.
I was brilliant at that at school, mate. Let me tell you.
I'm not convinced.
You're taking on the thing regarding the British Isles. It's a nationality, isn't it? Like, I'm British, and then you've got the Scottish people living on the British Isles.
Let's have a word. Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Peter, you want to have a whinge about something, do you?
I'm not going to join in your conversation you're in at the moment.
Right, Peter, hang on a second. Let me ask Peter. Dave, are you British? Peter, are you British?
Certainly.
Are you English?
Yes, certainly.
Are the Welsh British?
Yes, certainly.
No.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
The Welsh are the Welsh people.
No, they're British. They're British because British means Scottish, Welsh, English and Northern Ireland, really.
No, they're not.
They're British.
Because it could come under the British Isles. But they're not actually British. They're Scottish. That gentleman from Scotland yesterday.
He said,
Scottish. I'm not English.
I didn't say English. I said British.
British. He said, I'm Scottish. Yeah. I'm not British.
No, you are British.
No, not. Sorry.
You don't live in the British Isles, then?
This is where the big confusion is. British Isles. It should be classed as United Kingdom.
We're British. We're known as that all over the world.
Well, I'm sorry, you can't tell me a person's going to go up to a Scottish man and say, you're English.
I didn't say he's English, I said he's British.
Oh, British. I'm British. You're not going to tell me a man's going to go up from America and say to a Scottish man, you're British.
Well, it depends on what question's been asked, doesn't it?
No, no, if he goes up and he's talking there in Scottish to this American man, and this American man says to this man, oh, you're British, he's going to turn around and he says, how can I be British when I'm Scottish?
That don't mean the same thing, that's why.
It does.
Scot or English doesn't mean the same thing as British.
What?
Well, English doesn't mean the same thing as British. British means the people
British
from the British Isles.
Yeah, the British Isles. This is where
all
the
confusion is.
So they're British. Well, bring this up with the Scottish, Irish and Welsh people and see what they say. And I came on to talk to Mr. Lee.
Hang on a second.
Motorcyclist.
Hang on, Dave. Dave, stay there. Dennis.
Yes.
Are the Welsh British?
Yes, of course they are.
Are the Scottish British?
Yes, they are.
Because they're not.
Yes, they are. I'm English, I'm British, but European never. That was suck that one.
Pardon? Pardon, Dennis?
Suck that lemon and make it.
I ain't got lemon here to suck.
Well, you sound... Why are you disgruntled about being British?
I'm not disgruntled about you. I didn't come on regarding British, Irish, Welsh or Scottish. I come on about these motorcyclists across the cricket pitches.
That's Mr. Lee. He does this thing and he's a bit niggled this morning because he's forgot his belt. So tell him to belt up.
Yeah, he's got a sore throat as well, hasn't he, again? You know what I mean? Where's he going now? Roll on Thursday and Friday. Come on, Catherine and Kelly. We're going to have a great show, 2 days. See you, Mr. Lee. Isn't it the traffic news?
Goodbye, Englishman.
Hey, Matt, what's that sporting event where it's like 3 sporting events in one?
Triathlon.
You can say it now, slowly, in a slightly creepy voice. You couldn't say it then. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Listen.
Do a triathlon. Triathlon together.
Do what?
Triathlon.
A what? Triathlon.
Oh, it's a bit like carpenter again.
Is it like trifle?
Triathlon. What?
What's a triathlon?
Oh, it's a bit. Triathlon.
What?
What? I don't know what you're saying.
You do know what I'm saying. Triathlon.
Oh, and explain what's the ingredients.
It's not a recipe. Do a triathlon. Eh? Somebody can help me out. How do you pronounce that?
Is it sponge?
Do a tri... No, it's not. Please help me. Do a triathlon.
Say it how it's read.
Try.
Slow motion.
Right. Triathlon. Ah, do a triathlon together.
What are you doing?
Give me your pen back.
Oh, nice one. Thanks. Oh.
You still owe me mine.
Is that what that was? That was a dig?
Maybe a little.
That was a dig, because I borrowed... That was a dig, Colin, because I borrowed a pen off her ages ago and I'm not giving it back. It's a good pen.
Yeah. See,
I'm one of those. I'm a pen borrower and a never give a backer.
Oh,
yeah,
I know those.
It's a good pen, though, Colin.
Well, that's it.
What?
So,
yeah.
What do you want me to talk about?
Well, I don't know. What'd you call in for?
I've forgotten.
Oh, do you want to talk about pens?
No, I want to talk about this graveyard thing.
Have you been smoking pot?
No.
Have you been drinking Buckfast?
No.
Have you been drinking cough medicine?
No.
Have you eaten a very, very large meal?
No.
Have you just woken up?
No.
Have you bumped yourself on the head?
No.
Have you had a little sneaky snifter of whiskey?
No.
Have you just had a lovely relaxing massage?
I wish, no.
A steam?
Sorry?
A steam?
A steam?
A steam?
What's a steam?
A steam?
Eh?
A steam?
Oh dear, the record's stuck.
Have you just had a steam?
What is a steam?
Have you just had a steam?
I don't know, because I don't know what it is.
Ah, maybe we found it then. Could you have had a steam?
I don't know, maybe I could.
Could you?
Maybe, I don't know.
Have you had a foot spa?
No.
We're back to a steam. A steam's the most likely candidate, if you don't know if you've had it. You're right?
Oh, dear.
Did you have some Reiki?
No.
Again, we're back to a steam, aren't we?
Well, maybe I did.
Did you have those candles in your ear?
No.
Meditation?
No.
A steam?
Don't know.
Did you do the Pilates?
Definitely not.
A steam?
Don't know.
Must be a steam. Must be a steam. I can't think of anything else that could have made you sound so relaxed, man, and laid back. Must be a steam.
I'm always relaxed.
A steam? A steam is like a sauna.
Oh.
So have you had a steam?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Just been sitting here listening to you and checking emails and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, a bit like that today. Lovely weather, isn't it?
Isn't it just beautiful?
Oh, that's what we were going to talk about, wasn't it? Being English.
Oh, no.
British.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Thanks very much for calling. Naveed's in Aylesbury. Good morning, Naveed.
Hi, good morning.
What would you like to talk... Oh, you've called in about being British.
I just want to talk about this thing that you are talking about, what it is to be a British.
Yeah, go on.
I'm an immigrant myself. I am from Pakistan.
Oh, whereabouts in Pakistan?
I'm in Lahore, from Lahore.
I've been to Lahore.
Yeah, okay.
I love Lahore. I spent 2 weeks in Lahore and 3 months in Karachi.
Okay.
Beautiful country. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so I moved to UK about 4 or 5 years ago. Well, I just want to tell your listeners that there's a book published by Home Office.
Oh.
The book is called Life in UK. So every non-EU immigrant has to pass a test that is called Life in UK test.
Yes.
And you have to read that book in order to pass that. So I just want to tell your listeners that if you don't know what it is to be a British, just read that book.
So are you British now, Naveed?
No, I'm not.
You've not taken the citizenship?
No, I haven't yet.
Are you planning to?
Yes.
So I'm assuming you've read the book, have you?
I haven't yet, but my wife has passed that test.
Oh, well, congratulations. Do you know what this... Yes, my brother-in-law is from New Zealand, and you've just reminded me, he's passed the test. He had to read the book. But it's full of, like, weird stuff, I can't think of any examples. It's all about, like, Churchill and beer and things like that, is it? And buses.
Yes, mostly it's like that. It's mostly about history and parks and how you live, how you drive. And
yeah, it's really strange. And there's stuff in there that I didn't know. Probably your wife as well knows more about being British than I do.
Yes, basically, I have shown that book to my colleagues in my office. I am a software developer. So I've shown that book to my colleagues in office and none of them has passed the test.
Naveed, would you like me to just remind you of home for just 20 seconds?
Yeah.
OK, here we go. Perdesi, perdesi, janana hai, mujhe chole ke. How's that?
Yeah, that was very good.
David, it's always my pleasure. It's always my pleasure. For just 20 seconds to remind you of your beautiful... I love Pakistan.
Was that filthy? Do I need to do a form?
No, that's not filthy.
Okay.
No. Snuck that one in. I only counted to 10, don't worry. Dennis is in Dunstable. Morning, Dennis.
Good morning to you.
And I believe if I were to order fish fingers in Pakistan, I'd have to ask for muchi ungli.
Would you?
Yep. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, but then they're not British, are they?
What, Pakistanis or fish fingers?
No, fish fingers.
Okay. Dennis...
I never found any fish with fingers on round here.
But I'm dumped.
Sorry?
But I'm dumped.
What are you on about?
Are you eating?
I'm halfway through my breakfast.
Is it a sausage?
No, I don't. I don't eat meat in the morning.
Ha! Ha! Why not, Dennis? I love a sausage first thing in the morning.
Oh, dear God, no.
Oh, as soon as I'm awake, get a sausage in my mouth.
Yes, but the trouble is, like, sausages, like those damn things you said you like coming from McDonald's, right?
Yes, but not McDonald's, because not the highly litigious McDonald's. Food outlet?
No, it's meat. Yeah. Right? They say it's beef, but then beef in a bull is from its nose ring to its rectum.
Well, from ring to ring, yes.
And probably you're eating more rectum than nose.
Beautiful. And doesn't it taste delicious?
I don't know. I wouldn't touch
sweet,
it with a bar bowl.
Sweet, sweet meat.
Anyway, that's beside the point.
That is beside the point.
Graves.
Yes.
Graves.
Yes. Onto the, Dennis.
Yes.
Onto the grave issue of graves.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah? Yeah?
I'm sorry that that lady had to suffer like that. I think that the chap who was, you were questioning, he was obeying the rules of the council. He didn't make the rules, he was obeying the rules. And the rules said that you could, for 2 months, yes, you can have flowers on, but then they die. And a lot of people don't have to go back again. And as for then turfing it over, what did you see all those graves during this business in France this last week? How more could they be looked after than that, to be honoured that they'd been buried, and they were buried in a nice area, all smooth and everything? You don't need flowers, you don't need a lump of rock.
You don't need names.
No. Names, yes, because a lot of them are on. They don't know the names.
But Dennis, a war grave is slightly different to a woman who's burying her dead husband who had a horrific battle with cancer.
Can I be a bit harder now? This lady must have known that her husband was dying. He was very, very ill.
Yeah.
That is the time to arrange the funeral and somewhere to go. No, just a minute, somewhere to go.
Well,
I'm nearer to this than a lot of you people, right?
Yes.
And so I've already instructed my family that when I go, I want to be cremated. You can do what the hell you like with the ashes.
Oh, we're going to give them away as a competition on BBC Three Counties Radio. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, put them in an egg timer and make me work.
There we go. But Dennis, when
you're... Land is for the living.
Yes, OK. Whatever that means. But when your partner is dying...
Yes.
You don't go home from the hospital and think, oh, gosh, right now, so now he's dying, I should probably sort out the...
Right.
You don't think like that.
Don't
you're caught
you?
Up in...
I did.
When?
When my mother was dying.
Yeah, OK. Well, I mean, this fellow was 38, which is no age. And may I suggest some people might think like that, and you obviously did, but not everyone does. And maybe it's different when it's parents, because we kind of... It's the natural order of thing, isn't it? We bury our parents.
Yeah, well, that's what my kids are doing, lining up to get rid of me.
Have you got any money, Dennis?
No.
Then
No, because they've got to do it. I've looked at the... law, not the law, but my will.
You wouldn't be able to do it yourself,
because
no.
Because we've made wills,
yes.
They are obliged to bury it.
In my will, Dennis, right, I'm going to have put in my will that my kids can inherit all of my wealth, and I'm worth literally not very much at all. They can have it all, but they have to spend the night in a haunted house.
Well, that's all right. That's for them.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to come back again?
No.
Further to this business, I've told my children I want to be cremated. You can do what you like with the ashes. I do not want a rock on me with a name on.
No.
I want them to remember me. If they forget me, then fine.
Dennis, there's literally no chance of forgetting you. Who was that? Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC Three Counties Radio. It's 8:04, and Kelly Betts has just done something very, very silly. What did you just do, Kelly?
I rang a guest.
Yeah?
She answered... And I said, hello, Three Counties. And she said, you just rang me.
You silly sausage. Ah, bless her. Lots coming up in the last hour of the show, including pitch wrecking, speed humping. Oh, and also, where have you been on a school trip? I only got to go to Thorpe Park when it was historical. I never got to go to anywhere foreign or fancy. They kind of knocked that on the head when I was growing up. You probably... Where did you go, Kath?
Wales, Derbyshire. Normandy.
Oh, Normandy. I bet that was fun, wasn't it?
Well, I don't think I was of the age to appreciate
it. You told me you found it very, very dull.
Yeah.
I went to Dunstable.
Okie dokie. 08459 455 555.
Across beds, hearts and bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Yeah, my respect, Buffy.
Hello, Three Counties. 08459 455 555 is the phone number. Now, at the start of the week, we spoke to the captain of a cricket club that plays in Houghton Regis, or at least they tried to, because for some time, kids on motorbikes have been using their pitch as an off-road track, and they don't give a monkey's whether there's a game on or not. Well, when we caught up with Houghton Chargers captain Aziz Chowdhury earlier this week, he mentioned something that we thought couldn't be right, that they were being asked to pay for police to tackle the problem. Well, in the last hour, Andrew Salu, MP, gave us his a ray of hope when he told this programme he's prepared to take up the cause. Well, Jan Cooper is a community worker advising Houghton Regis Town Council on community and youth matters. Morning, Jan.
Haven't we just hung council down Kelly speaking?
Hey! Isn't Kelly Betts silly? Isn't she a silly sausage?
Well, what... I did say to Kelly, you did ring me, Kelly.
She's going to be teased mercilessly, Jan. Thank you for that. Now, you must be familiar... We've had so many complaints about these bikers in Houghton Regis. You must be familiar with this as well.
Can I tell you about my school trip, Ian?
Oh, go on. Where did you go?
So, we did the school exchange to France.
Yeah.
And I think I was about 14. And obviously in France, you have a couple of wines when you're 14.
What?
Well, you do. Okay, yeah, okay. It was only one wine. Yeah. And of course, I went completely silly. My friends panicked.
Yeah.
And got the teachers in.
Yeah.
So, because obviously I shouldn't have been drinking wine.
Now, were you funny drunk, or were you that kind of teenage really ill drunk?
Really ill drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Really ill drunk. So they called the doctor.
Oh, no.
The doctor decided I had appendicitis.
What?
I got admitted to hospital in an emergency ambulance.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I've really got to tell them that I'm just drunk. I had an emergency operation and had my appendix removed.
What?
And I then got put into a ward with another young person. And they had German measles, so I then went and contracted German measles.
That's awful. So your appendix were absolutely fine?
Well, I don't know.
They got whipped out, and then you got the German measles. I don't know. And hang on a minute. You're supposed to be a community worker advising Houghton Regis Town Council on youth matters.
I'm advising is when you're 14, don't be drinking wine because you can end up with your appendix.
You can end up with no appendix in a French hospital.
And German measles.
So it's do as I say, not as I do from you, is it, Jan?
I learnt through experience, Ian.
Unbelievable. Well, thanks for calling. Oh, no, hang on a second. You're a guest. These bikes in Houghton Regis. Are you familiar with them?
Couple of points of clarification. Your news item says youth, and it isn't youth, it's grown men.
We've heard it's a mixture of both. We've had accounts of it being both, being, you know, sort of teenagers, and you're right, blokes in their 30s and 40s.
It really isn't kids.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because we've had stories, we've had, you know, callers telling us it's kids.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, you know, just like everybody else, maybe some of them as kids, but it's not a let's bash the kids story. Like, these are adults that are doing this.
Yeah.
We would really welcome the ray of hope of the local MP coming on board and helping us with this situation.
Yeah.
You know, that would be fantastic. Any help?
Well, Andrew Shalhoub said he said he's going to look into it and speak to the police, so that's something.
Yeah, awesome. It's pretty standard for sports organisations to have to fund their own policing, Ian. That's not controversial.
Well, no, but it surely is controversial, Jan. If you're playing a cricket match and some yobs, and I'm not quite sure why you're reluctant to accept that a number of these are young people, because they are, we've been told. If you've got yobs riding motorbikes on a cricket match stealing the wickets, then surely the police know this is happening, then surely they should turn up and sort it out.
They absolutely should. The other sort of perception that I'm getting from listening to your programme this morning is as though the bikers are targeting the cricket club.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know that that's the case, really. The cricket occurs right in the centre of town.
Yeah.
And the bikers are there 24/7 going backwards and forwards. And on a Sunday afternoon, the cricketers are there. I don't think that the bikers are particularly taking any notice of the fact that there's... And don't get me wrong, I'm not supporting the behaviour.
They're nicking the wickets. They're riding onto the pitch and nicking the wickets.
It has been known, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say that's targeting the cricketers.
Yeah, well, on occasions it has happened, but it's happening all the time. Not all the time, but it's not because the cricketers are there.
Oh, we know it's happening all over Houghton Regis, but surely that's even more reason for the coppers to be there.
So the town council ran a pancake race and we had the bikers come through.
Yeah.
I had to ring the police. The police responded immediately and came down straight away.
I don't get the point. Sorry, what's the point?
The point is that you said to me, Well, surely the police should be doing something about this.
Yeah.
And
but if they know it's happening, if they know there's a cricket match on, and yes. that there's going to be some young idiot who's going to come along on a motorbike and steal their wickets, then they should send a copper down there to stop it happening.
Well,
and then bang these yobs up.
Wouldn't that be absolutely wonderful
if
we had the capacity and the resources just to stand there?
Oh, so we just let them get on with it then, Jack? Let's just let them get on with it then. Let's let this cricket team get kicked out of the league and banned from all the tournaments and then the yobs have won.
The situation that we're in is that behaviour is happening.
Right, so let's do what we can to stop it. Let's send some coppers down to the match. Let's get these kids. Let's nick their bikes. Let's crush them, and let's stop them from doing it.
Yeah, and 2 weeks ago, the police took 3 bikes and crushed them.
Brilliant. Let's do. Let's have more of that.
Okay, where are we going to get the money from? Because it costs money.
Oh.
And the situation that we're in.
So you're just saying because we can't afford it, we should just let them get on with it. That's crazy, Jan. That's crazy.
I'm not saying we should just let them get on with it, but the common sense is, and the practicality is, that we don't have an endless pot of money, Ian. That the police
force what's your suggestion?
Have experienced 25% cuts
in
Bedfordshire, and so we've got limited resources. Those limited resources are going to say to the community that we need your help. We need your help.
Community policing. No, Jan, listen, we know they've had cuts. Doesn't mean we should go soft on crime because they've had cuts. What are we going to do?
At what point did I say go soft on crime?
Well, you let them get away with it. What do we do? Go around to these people's houses and say, so come on then, what's the problem?
No,
why are you doing this?
Let's talk about it. What we do is we ask the community every single time that they see a motorbike incident, please ring 101.
Yeah, and then they get put on hold, or their phone call doesn't get answered, or they're ignored.
Well, if you want to take the negative attitude in...
No, Jan, that's not my attitude. That's what people have told me on this show. They've dialed the number, they've been put on hold, they've had no answer, they've been told that they can't send somebody out. People have given up, Jan. The system doesn't work as it is, because they feel like they're not being listened to.
OK, that's a bit of a double-edged sword. So, I'm being accused of saying that... I'm just letting them get on with it, and yet you're saying to me the people have just given up.
Yeah, because
people have given up. They can't expect any...
No, they've given up, Jan, because they dial 101, as you've just suggested, and they don't get any response.
Right. On occasions, 101, I accept, doesn't get answered.
Which is disgusting. If people are phoning up because they want to report a crime and the number doesn't get answered, that's disgusting, isn't it?
And I'm sure that the police would completely agree with you on that, Ian.
Right.
But what we need to do, resources are allocated in response to what the community are asking for.
OK, the community are asking for police officers to patrol this cricket match to stop yobs ruining their game. They're asking for police officers to stop these yobs, these young yobs, riding along on the streets, buzzing up to old women walking their dogs and creating havoc and misery for people.
OK.
And our resources can't stretch to stop that?
Not for the length of time that a cricket match
lasts. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. And they don't have to be there for the whole cricket match. They can pop along a few times. Or you send one copper...
Okay, let's look at that point. They can pop along a few times. So the police will pop along a few times exactly when you ring them and tell them that the bikers are there. That's when they'll pop along.
Jan, they popped along on my pancake race. How long ago was your pancake race?
2 hours.
No, how long ago was your pancake race?
On Pancake Day,
okay.
In February.
Jan, I was asking what year. No need to be sarky, love.
I'm sorry, I was laughing.
Well, good for you, because this isn't funny, because they've called the police, Jan, and they're not turning up. So, yeah, you were lucky. They came to your pancake race, but they're not going to the cricket.
If the cricketers ring...
Hang on a second. Clay, you want to speak to Jan. Go on, Clay.
Yeah, go on then. That'll be fine. In 2005, because this is an ongoing problem in Houghton Regis, I was walking, pushing my daughter along in a buggy, going towards the cricket pitch. I was nearly run off the path by a couple of mopeds. I had to actually go into the grass. Got to the co-op when it was fully standing. There was a police car there, so I said to them, hold on, there's a load of motorbikes riding around the thing. They've nearly run us off the road. And the reaction from the police was, oh, well, there's not a lot we can do because every time we go up there, they just ride out a different entrance of the park.
And that's the story, Jan, we've heard time and time again.
OK.
Oh, and I moved.
So what Clay needs to do is photograph.
Oh,
not put
Jan,
himself
Jan,
in danger.
Jan.
No. Can I speak, please? I went home, I said to the wife, that's it, because that was the third incident where I had reported it to the police, and I said, right, we're moving. 2006, we moved out of Houghton Regis, mainly because I didn't feel safe in Houghton Regis.
Clay, you should have taken a photograph, mate. That's obvious.
Take a photograph, send it into the police, see what they can do about it, and they can follow it up.
Clay, you're a plum, mate. You should have... Forget your little baby in the buggy. You should have taken a photo, sent it into the police, and wait for them to get back to you a few weeks later.
Yeah, and then report it to the police and be told, as I did report it three times, and be told when I saw police, there was a police car, two police officers at the co-op, which is only down the road, and they turned around and said, nothing we can do. Every time we go up there, they just ride out a different entrance of the park.
And that's, Clay, thank you. And that's a story, Jan, we've heard time and time again.
But so may I suggest that... Are we saying that we're not happy with our police force's performance?
That's one of the many things we're saying. I would suggest that perhaps when Jan Cooper calls up the police because her pancake race is being infiltrated by motorcyclists, that they might react a little bit quicker than when just some bloke phones up and says our cricket match is being interrupted.
I just rang 101, Ian.
Yeah, they don't answer most of the time.
But you just suggested it was I was getting special treatment.
Yes.
No, I just rang 101.
OK. Well, you were very, very lucky, and I'm surprised that you haven't got any empathy or sympathy for those other people that have, and that your best suggestion is take a photo and send it in.
I'd be really disappointed if that's how I'm coming across. Of course I have empathy and sympathy, and of course I want to do everything that I possibly can to solve the problem. I thought it was interesting that Clay said that this was 2005.
Yes, it's been going on for a long time.
It has. The council minutes show that in 1904...
Dad, we're not going back to 1904. We haven't got time. Hope before you got your point across. We'd have had longer to talk if you hadn't gone about your boozy trip in France. I should have said this earlier. If you're going to school now, I know most of you are probably there. If you're on your way to school, you have a free get-off-school pass from me, as it's my birthday. You don't have to turn up. I've arranged this with all the schools. You don't have to go to school. If you go in tomorrow, and if any of the teachers question it, just say, didn't you realise it was Ian's birthday? And they will let you off. That's my gift to all of the young people of Beds, Hearts and Bucks, Ben.
But why am I in work today, then? Do I not get the day off?
No, you don't, Ben.
No?
See you tomorrow.
OK.
Kath Kells, thanks very much.
Happy birthday, Princess.
Happy birthday, Ian, Princess, darling.
Treacle.
Honey pot.
Sugar pie.
Honey pot.
Love head.
Love head. I was away on Thursday and Friday.
And so, nothing happened, so the end.
No. And while I was away, well... Catherine got in a little bit of a pickle. Have a listen to this.
Kenny Luton's phoned up again with his poem. Go on, then. Tell us about this poem. Just give us a little bit of an introduction so we're not coming into it cold.
Well, the lollipop ladies have been getting some grief, right?
Yep.
So I've made a poem up for all the drivers out there, and this is it. In the road, they boldly stand.
Morning, Catherine in Bedford.
Hello.
Hello. What did you want to talk about?
It isn't off to bed, said Zebedee. That's the magic roundabout.
Oh.
It's to bed, said Sleepyhead. Tarry a while, said Slew. Put on the pan, said Sleepy Nan. Let's sup before we go.
Now, who taught you that rhyme, Catherine?
My grandmother.
I think it's a grandmother rhyme, isn't it?
It must be, yes.
And where were you brought up?
In Birmingham.
Is it a northern stroke Midlands grandmother thing?
Well, she was from Scotland, but my father always used to say, up the wooden hill to Bedfordshire.
You see? Have you ever been to Bedfordshire?
I live in Bedfordshire now.
But had you at that point?
No, never did know where it was.
Mm. What brought you?
Work.
Oh.
Boring.
What is it you do, Catherine?
Oh, I'm retired now.
What did you do?
I was a teacher.
Well, that's not boring. That sounds like a very fulfilling role.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for that, and thank you for setting me straight in a true teacherly fashion.
I won't
say it wrong again. The Catherine in Bedford there, originally from Birmingham, but came because of boring reasons like work. Scoindy,
yeah.
Do you think there's going to be comeback from not doing that poem?
I don't.
Do you think he's still there?
Yeah, he might be.
You still there, Ken?
Yes. Did you like that?
That was a lovely blast.
Yes.
What was I made of?
What is it in aid of?
Well, you just had that on standby, did you, just in case?
Yes.
All right, well, let's stop being silly now. Let's just stop being silly. Oh, hang on a second. We've got, who's this on the line on Fader 1? Ian.
Not Ian. Listen, right, you, poetry man, shut it. Right, now listen, I've been listening to the last 35 minutes of the show. This is absolutely... You've got people phoning in talking about bizarre country and western records. Here's a phone-in for you, right?
Yeah.
I'm in a hotel room. The minibar is locked, and there's no wardrobe, there's no cupboard to hang my clothes. Hotel discrepancies. Call me now, 08459 455 555. When have you ever been let down by a hotel?
I've never been in a hotel.
You know, you've never been in a hotel?
No. What am I going to a hotel for?
Well, to sleep there, stay there, have a holiday. I don't know. I'm about to go down for buffet breakfast paid for by you.
Me?
Yeah, you're paying for my breakfast.
Oh, get off the plane line then.
No.
Well said. Ken, let's have that poem then. Go on, brace yourselves, beds, hearts and books. Here it comes, finally.
In the road they boldly stand with their lolly popping in.
When hang on a minute, who are we talking about? Hang on. Who are we talking about? Who's standing in the road, bravely?
The lollipop lady.
All right, now you need to give us the introduction first. People won't know what you're talking about, Ken. Just a little pointer. Go on.
You're hanging this out, Kelly. Catherine.
Oh. Go on.
So we're talking... The lollipop lady is all over Bedfordshire, Buckinghamshire and Hertfordshire.
Right. Because they've had problems in the past with people driving into them or revving their engines or being rude. Is that right?
Oh, yes. That is the worst thing.
That is the worst. I think being run over is worse, but OK, go.
What do you mean, that driver?
You know that bit on the underneath the stop part of their lollipop? That's for them to write on. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They've always got a piece of chalk in their pocket. True fact.
She stands there, rain or shine. So please don't rush. Just take your time.
Travel news for beds, cards and bugs.
But Catherine also showed her more sensitive side with this very powerful and moving interview.
What's your beef, Keith?
And also... Kath certainly had egg on her face when it comes to dealing with randy dogs.
Oh, dear, what am I like? I'll take the egg off. That would have been helpful.
Just want to quickly add that they haven't happened yet.
Yeah, you've got to find a randy dog.
I've got to find a randy dog. If anybody knows one,
I'm
just give
find
this a call.
An excuse for not coming in.
That's the end of the podcast.
Wait, because we've just got to end with this.
Oh, and we'll end the podcast with this.
Beds, Hearts and Bucks weather.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Kate? Hello, is that Kate? Who's that?
It's me.
Who are you?
No.
Who? Who are you?
I'm here.
Okay, do you want to do the weather, Kate?
No.
What? Well, someone's got to do the weather.
What?
Did you just drop one? You did, didn't you?
It was about wind turbines, didn't you?
There we go. It's going to be windy today. You just cut the cheese live on air. Oh, Ken. Oh, dear. Oh, dearie me.
He forced that one out.
Yeah, that was unpleasant. He who smelt it dealt it.
He who did the crime.
You did the crime.
He denied it, supplied it.
Yeah. Well, that's the end. Fun times, guys. And we're recording this a little bit later than usual, just to say that since we recorded those podcast links, very sad news about Kelly Betts. So I'd like to dedicate this week's podcast to Kelly Betts and all who sailed in her.
It's not what she would have wanted. She'd have rather had a bench.
Yeah, I'm not splashing out on a bench. So just like to say to Kelly, wherever she is now, thank you so much for all of the help, all of the times, all of the laughs, all of the memories. And this podcast is for you. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for beds, hearts and bucks on FM, AM, digital radio and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.